morning to all of you. We welcome you on this Sunday before Christmas. We're glad that you're here. We have a number of our church family that are on the road traveling, and so we want to remember them in prayers. On this Sunday before Christmas and our call to worship, I wanted to draw your attention to a very interesting figure that's in the Christmas story who kind of looms in the background, but very few really realize the story behind King Herod, Herod the Great, as he is called. One theologian, Dr. D.A. Carson, said that he was an able administrator, someone who was trusted by the Roman government that he would carry out what he said. But in the waning years of his life, he was stricken with this horrible disease. They called it Herod's Evil. And he died in 4 B.C., believed to be the same year that Jesus Christ was born. As a matter of fact, after he gave the decree that the children 2 years old and younger would be gone, he died within a few months after that. A very horrible, horrible death. He had asked his assistant to kill him. And the assistant refused to do it, and so he had the assistant killed, and he had another assistant brought in and said, "Will you kill me?" So he stabbed him, but it wasn't sufficient. And so he suffered from the stabbing in addition to the disease and then died a month or so later. But we read that when he heard news of this king that was born, we were told in verse 3, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." And then you know the rest of the story. He gets the information together. And he tells the wise men who come to visit him, "You come back and see me once you've found him." Now, his purpose was not to lavish worship upon the Christ child, but rather to kill him, to make sure that he was dead. And we know how he ordered, after the wise men did not come back, he ordered the deaths of all males, children, 2 years old and younger, in the Bethlehem, Judea region. And then verse 19 in the same chapter we read, "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream in Egypt." You know, the Lord preserved the baby, but they weren't in Egypt for a long time. They were in there for just a short time because Herod was dead. Now, Joseph, we're told, was afraid when he found out that Archelaus, Herod's son, was to take over the throne. But the angel assured him, "You can come back. He is not going to harm you." And so they were able to come back. But you think about Herod, that when he gave the decree for those boys to be killed, 2 years old and younger, he only had a couple of months to live. Herod did not think that he was going to die. He thought he would continue on. One writer, Josephus, said that it was safer to be Herod's pig than it was his own children. Because Herod, in the last months of his life, was afraid that his sons would try to take over the throne from him, and so he ordered the deaths of 2 of his sons. Very sad ending to a man who had every opportunity. He was a Jew, you see. He had been born in Jewry. He was trusted by the Romans, but he was a Jew. And he knew the truth, but he rejected it. You know, as we approach Christmas this week, I pray that this story is not just familiar to you, but that you know it from the inside. You know what that means? I heard a child say that one time. "I know that story from the inside." In other words, it was in their heart. They knew it. But you need to know Jesus Christ from the inside, not just from up here, but you need to know Him personally. And I pray for you today, if you're not saved, that today would be the day that you get it forever settled.
Let's take our hymn books this morning and turn to number 80, hymn number 80. "Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus," hymn number 80. We'll stand together to sing.
Yeah.
remain standing for prayer this morning.
Let us pray.
Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sunday. We thank you for the opportunity that we have today to be in your house. In spite of the weather outside, it's wonderful to know that we have the warmth of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. And we thank you, dear Father, that you loved us in spite of our sin, in the sending of your Son to die on Calvary's tree, that we might have forgiveness of sin, but then also his resurrection from the tomb bodily, that we might forever have the seal of heaven upon us to live with thee forever and ever. Father, we rejoice in the wonderful news of the coming of Jesus Christ, and we look forward to that second coming when your trumpet comes and sounds forth the message that God's children are to come up to be with thee. Lord, we look forward to that day. We pray, dear Father, that you would bless this season of the year. We know that this is a time for family, a time for travel and visiting family. And we pray, dear Father, that at this season of the year, that there would be a consciousness of the true meaning of Christmas. Not the cultural meaning, not what it's become to mean in our own individual families, but rather, what does it truly mean? May we not get so wrapped up in all of the presents and all of the gift exchange that we forget about the greatest gift that has ever been given, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray, dear Father, that those that are lost within our families might hear the message of Christmas, might hear the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ from our lips. And we pray, dear Father, that we might see precious souls drawn unto yourself. We do pray for those who are traveling. We have many of our church family who are away today. We ask for your special watch care over them to keep them safe as they travel. And we also pray that you would give them a secure and safe travel back to us when that time comes. We pray, Father, for those who are battling sicknesses today and cannot be with us. And dear Father, we pray for this service today. Lord, we pray that you'd give us ears to hear. Help us not to be thinking about everything else in the world other than your Word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be able to teach and instruct our hearts today, and that this might be a wonderful time gathered around your Word, reflecting upon the coming, the first coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, and we'll turn over now to number 88. We continue to sing number 88, Away in a Manger, hymn number 88.
Oh.
Turn to number 91, in hymn books, number 91. There's a song in the air, hymn number 91.
Shepherds keep their flocks of lambs and feeding sheep, to whom God's angels did appear, which put the shepherds in great fear. Prepare and go, the angel said, to Bethlehem. Be not afraid, for there you'll find this happy morn, a princely babe, sweet Jesus born. with thankful heart and joyful mind, the shepherds went the babe to find. And as God's angel had foretold, they did our Savior Christ behold. Within a manger he was laid, and by his side the Virgin Maid, attending on the Lord of life, who came on earth to end all strife. Good people, all this Christmas time, consider well and bear in mind what our good God for us has done in sending His beloved Son.
God's people said, amen. Wexford Carol, beautiful carol that communicates a very clear gospel message and clear account of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to be focusing today on the final message of our series this month on connecting to the Savior. Connecting to the Savior. We looked at Acts chapter 13. Where the Apostle Paul's first recorded message is found there, a message not only to the Jew, but also to the Gentile. And the message was this, that Jesus Christ came, and He came on a mission, and His mission was to redeem lost sinners of all people groups. And then we took time twice to go to that passage of Scripture. We looked at Luke chapter 2 last week, and today we're in Matthew chapter 2, and once again, we're going to find that both Jews and Gentiles are the focus of this message. And we're going to look at connecting to the Savior today, and specifically the wise men. The wise men. And we're going to look at them both this morning and tonight, because the Bible shares much about these wise men and their attitude of connecting with the Savior. Traveling a great distance, following a star, to come to the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was in order to do what? To worship Him. These were not Jews. These were not Jewish men. These were Gentiles. And they came a great distance to worship the Lord. And we find in every step of their journey, there is an urgency that's found. And we're going to point that out because, folks, if you're not connected to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you better get busy. You better get yourself connected to Him because you don't control your time. You may think you do. Many people live as if they do. But I'm telling you that you do not. You have no idea. Every time I go out on the streets of Milton, I pass an ambulance. It's either on the road dealing with somebody or an ambulance passing me going. So it's just amazing how this tiny little town has so many ambulance visits. And why? Because people are sick. People are dying. People don't plan their sicknesses out. People don't plan when they're going to have an auto accident. People don't plan when they're going to get cancer. But I want to tell you something. God's in charge of all of it. And so if you're not connected to the Savior this morning, my prayer for you is that you'll not delay, that you'll not put it off to some future time, but that you would turn to Christ this morning and get it forever settled. Let's begin reading at verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I want you to note that the Lord communicated to Gentiles in a dream. And it's recorded in the book of Matthew. Now, why is that important? When we did our study of Matthew, I pointed out that Matthew is a distinctly Jewish book, but it's also a distinctly Gentile book. Over 18 references specifically to ethnos or ethnikos, as it's called in the Greek language, speaking of the Gentile. More than any of that, by the way, it's one more than all the other Gospels combined, referring to the Gentiles. And here we find God speaking to Gentiles in a dream that they should not go back to Herod, but rather they should go on their way. And they obeyed the words of the dream that was communicated to them. Now this is significant because these men indicated a great desire after searching what scriptures they had. They had an express desire to go. And God gave them a star to lead them. God gave them a star. God communicated to them in a dream. They searched the scriptures and they were not Jews. Now you say, Pastor Brainerd, why are you emphasizing this? Because you see, folks, I'm not a Jew either. Many of you are not Jews. Now, if you're Jewish, that's wonderful. God communicated His Word to the Jew. God gave His Word in the Old Testament to the Jew. But I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ cares for Gentiles too. And these Gentiles made it their mission to get to the Lord Jesus. Last week, we looked at a bunch of Jewish men, shepherds, that were abiding in their fields, keeping watch. And what did they do? They made haste to get to Jesus. Today, in our final messages from the Old Testament and the New Testament here, as we seek to round out this series of connecting to the Savior, I want you to see that the Lord is concerned and He wants you to come to Him too. And He doesn't want you to take your time getting there. You know, there are some things in life, folks, that are just urgent. If you're really sick, or you've been in an auto accident and you're hurt really bad, there's an urgency about that. I've gone and helped people on times whenever there's been auto accidents and I just happened to be nearby. I pulled my truck over and got out and went to check on them, see if somebody needed it. My wife and I witnessed a bad accident over in Pensacola many, many years ago. And we didn't just dawdle over to the car. Hey, is everybody all right in there? Okay, see you later. No, I ran. I parked the van with the kids. I left it on. I said, y'all just stay here. I don't know what you're going to see. And I ran over there to check. Why? Urgency. There was an urgency. We saw the wreck. We saw how bad it was. And there was urgency there. Now, my point is this, folks. Why is it so hard for people to get urgent about their spiritual needs and their soul? Why are we so lackadaisical about that? When these men learned of the Christ child to be born. They gathered up their stuff, we don't know from where, somewhere in the east, and they got on their camels and they made their way across the desert and they found out where Jesus was. There was urgency there. That was the fastest way they could get there, by the way. They didn't have trains, they didn't have planes, they didn't have motorcycles or cars. They had a camel, and they got on it, and they made haste to get there. I want you to see this. Verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now the idea of coming implies a desire. Now this is important. A desire. I want us to think clearly about this matter of salvation. Before you can be saved, there must be a desire that's there in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one that works in hearts to bring about that desire. Amen? But when that conviction comes, don't let anything stand in your way. Get to Jesus just as quick as you can get there. Dr. Hobbs told the story many, many times of preaching up in West Virginia. And he gave the invitation and he came down among the people and he shared the invitation message. And a boy that was sitting over in the middle by his girlfriend stood up to come, and she came and stood at the end of the aisle and wouldn't let him out. And you could see them whispering to each other, and then the boy just walked back over and sat down in his pew. She had won that day. I've reminisced over that story, and I think about how sickening and how sad. Someone was coming to Jesus, and a girl stood in the way, wouldn't let him come. That was his fault. Don't just blame the girl. It was his fault. He could have pushed her aside and made his way up and got things taken care of. But he wasn't convinced that he should come to Jesus. He didn't make haste. He didn't hurry because he had no desire to move from this girl to Jesus. I want to say something to the children, to the teenagers, to the 20-somethings that are in our church. You have an opportunity. You have an opportunity. You've been in this church perhaps for years. And the Lord desires for you to come to Him. He doesn't want you to delay. He doesn't want you to think up another excuse. Oh, how we do that. These wise men left everything behind and they journeyed all the way to Jerusalem. They didn't know whether they would ever be able to see Him, but they had some mark in the sky that God gave them to direct them to the place that they ought to go. Isn't that wonderful? The work of God's Spirit in the heart. Desire is a powerful emotion to get yourself to where you ought to be. I've read stories of great believers of the past. I've read stories of missionaries. One of my heroes is John Payton, missionary from Scotland, who God got a hold of his heart, trusted Christ as his Savior. Christian parents that had presented the Word of God to him, but he battled with this matter of Jesus until he could battle no more, and he got himself to the Lord, and the Lord saved him by grace. And then the Lord started calling him to go to the other side of the world, leaving behind Scotland, leaving behind his family. His father refused his wife's pleas to talk John out of it. He's going to a place where there's cannibals. Surely he'll be killed and eaten. Is that what you want for your son? And the mother continued to plead, and he said, God has called him. We must not stand in his way. And one of the most vivid pictures of his leaving Scotland was him standing on the moors with his father. and saying goodbye. He had his backpacks with him to carry to the local shipyard so he could get on a boat to travel to England to get on another ship to go. And he said goodbye to his father, and his father didn't say a whole lot. But his father told him, said, "John, God be with thee. My spirit goes with you, even though my body cannot. God be with you, and may you go with God's speed." Now, what was he saying to his son? Go, but go with God's speed. In other words, there's an urgency behind God's call. He went to New Hebrides, and he met some headhunters. Boy, there's stories. If you haven't read the story of John Payton, you need to get his biography. What a story of God's redeeming grace. But he carried the gospel to New Hebrides. And those cannibals that had eaten people learned of Jesus Christ, and their lives were transformed because a man left home and went for Jesus. And he did so with urgency. He did so with urgency. I want us to think about these wise men here. Let's continue on. They had a desire, verse 1. And we move on here to verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently about the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him." Now, where did they send him? To Bethlehem. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over the place where the young child was. Now, where did the king send them? Bethlehem. I have often heard through the years, and I've repeated it many, many times, that there was a long period of time before the Lord Jesus Christ saw the wise men. But I'm not convinced of that anymore. I'm not convinced of it because as I've studied the Word of God, I've found out that some of the words that a lot of people have used over there, like paideos, which is the word that was used speaking of the young child, was also used of John the Baptist when he was 7 days old. It wasn't used of him when he was 2. It's used several times in the context of, in the Greek language over and over again. Brephos used of an infant, paideos used of children a day old all the way up to 3. So I'm not convinced anymore. As a matter of fact, as I've studied this, I found another gentleman that I went to college with, Leighton Talbert, who did a study on this as well. And he indicates as well that he's not convinced that the wise men went to Nazareth, as some have taught through the years, but rather indeed went to Bethlehem and found the baby, who may have been very young. Let us not assume that they lived at the manger scene for months on end. Let us assume that perhaps even the shepherds opened their home. Wouldn't that have been a kind thing to do? Oh, you need a place to stay? The shepherds came in. You can stay in my house. We're out in the fields, but you can stay at my house. I don't know. I'm speculating. But I think that the idea that the child was 2 years old whenever they finally came, a lot of people use, well, he said 2 years old and younger. That was speculation on King Herod's part because he didn't know when the star appeared. And it may have been a 2-year period, may have been less than that. He wanted to make sure he got him. So that does not indicate that the child was 2 years old and that they were up in Nazareth. So there's a lot of questions about that that I'm not too sure about, and I'm just giving you my opinion. But these wise men made haste to get to Jesus, and they came to Bethlehem, and they met with the Lord Jesus. Now, I want us to think once again. Herod says, "I want you to go, and I want you to hurry, and I want you to find him, and when you find him, I want you to come back. I want you to see, please." And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, I want us to think this morning about eight things related to the Magi and also their desire to connect to the Savior. These are very important. We're not going to get through all of them this morning, but I want to get through some of them. But first of all, I want to relate to you three different responses to the Christ child. First of all, Herod's. Herod displayed an open hatred and hostility to Jesus when he ordered the deaths of all the males 2 years old and younger. Did he want to connect with Jesus? Not for the same reasons that he should have. He wanted to connect only to kill him. We also have the chief priests and the scribes. Did they make haste to go to Bethlehem to find the Christ child? After they did all this study and found out that he was to be born in Bethlehem, do we find even one chief priest who says, you know, I'm interested about this. I think I'm going to go down there and I'm going to meet this Christ child too. Not one. No interest whatsoever. They didn't hurry. They didn't take the information that they were given. You know, it's amazing to me. I like to study things and I like to read about things and I like to go places and see things about what I've read about. Whenever I got the invitation to go to the Philippines, I wrote Brother Jethro and I said, is there any way that we can go to Corregidor, right off the coast of Manila? Because I wanted to go to the place where Douglas MacArthur said, I shall return. As a kid, I thought that was the greatest thing because he came back and he did mop-up operations and he drove the Japanese out. He did exactly what he said. You know, I like it when men keep their word. And so I said, I'd like to go to Corregidor. So they made arrangements. It was a two-hour boat ride from Manila all the way to Corregidor. We went past the island that they raised the top of and made it look like a ship. They put cannons on top of it and they put stacks on top of it. Those are all gone now because those were metal and they've rusted down from the salt water spray. But you can actually still go to that island and go down in the tunnels where they kept all the arms. It was to be a mirage from the sky where they thought a ship was there right beside the island of Corregidor. As I stood there at the dock in the exact spot where Douglas MacArthur stood, I thought to myself, you've traveled 8,000 miles to do this, Todd. I mean, I just reveled in the moment. I looked over there and I saw the place where the PT boat had been tied. And then I walked across and I went to the building that was there where he and his staff had met before he left to get on the PT boat with his wife and his children to head. Then we went up the hill and saw the place where the house stood, which was bombed out, where he and his family lived. I was reveling in things that I had only read about as a child and a teenager and as a college student. But I was thankful that I got to go and visit it and got to see it. I got to see lots of things. I got to go to Manila to the palace where the president lives. I got to go by the U.S. Embassy. I got to go to the port where all American ships docked during World War II and since that time. I actually got to fly over twice the Subic Bay region where our military had fought and had had their ships there to go out and fight in the Philippine Sea. As someone who loves history, I was just reveling in it. I had read about it, but now I got to see it with my eyes. The wise men read about it, and they wanted to see him with their eyes. I don't know about you, folks. We've read about the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the Lord Jesus Christ because He is real and He lives within us. But folks, do you have a burning in your heart to see Him? Oh, that's on a whole different plane. We've read about our Lord. We know that He has the nail prints in His hand. We know He has the scars on His head. But folks, don't you want to see Him and kneel in His presence and take the crowns and cast them at His feet? This is real, folks. And the wise men had that same burning desire. We're going to go to Jerusalem and we're going to find this babe that was promised. And God gave them a star to get them there. And then He spoke to them in a dream to send them back home. Folks, I don't know, this story just stands out from the pages of Scripture. It's got the Lord written all over it. And these men were moved to get themselves to Jesus. And we need that same kind of moving. We need it in the halls of Santa Rosa Christian School. We need it in the classrooms. We need it on the ball fields of the YAC program, in the gymnasium with everything that goes on, in the learning center. We got to get folks to Jesus. And that takes a passion. That's desire. But passion ratchets it up a little bit. You ever had a desire in your heart? Yeah, it'd be nice to do something. But then the overwhelming passion to do it. Can you only imagine when the first suggestion was made? You know, we've read about this star, and we read about this one that's to be born in Bethlehem. What do you think about us going? How many of you would have talked somebody out of doing that trip? Well, I've been talked out of a lot of trips that we desired to make, you know, sometimes about. Let's go here. No, we can't do that. Well, let's go over here. No, we can't do that. You know, you have the desire to go. I have desires to go to certain places. And I don't know, I know I'm going to get to go because I'll get to go during the millennial kingdom. And it'll be removed from the curse. That'll be an even added blessing. But you have these desires that come. Like, as a diabetic, from time to time, I do have desires for ice cream. Sweet Frog. Just the name shoots the whole idea down. Sweet Frog! Okay? You know, I remember going to Sweet Frog and delving in till I found out that their sugar-free ice cream had way too many carbs. It has more carbs in one thing of the sugar-free ice cream than you can have in a steak dinner. Did you know that? It just killed it for me. But I have this desire every once in a while. Oh, boy, that would be really good. Chocolate. Sugar-free chocolate. And maybe put in some of those other two items that you can put on top because everything else is just way over the top. And you get a desire and then it dies. Yep, can't do that. Can't do that. These folks got past just the desire part and they got into the passion part. And that was packing up the camel and hitting the road. And that's where a lot of people stop and they never make it to Jesus. They have a desire like that young man in West Virginia some 60 years ago. Who knows if he's still alive today? Who knows what happened with his life? But he had a desire. And he got up from his seat and he walked down to the end, but his girlfriend got up and blocked him and said, "No, you're not going up. You're not going to change our plans. You're not going to go to Jesus. Nah, you're not going to do that." I've often thought about, Lord, I pray that he got saved. But I just don't know, and I won't know. As a child hearing that story, I often thought about that. Lord, I don't want it to be Todd Brainerd. And I got it settled at age 14. How about you? Have you moved from a simple desire to a passion to get yourself to Jesus Christ? There's a big difference between the two. They were not satisfied with just looking at the star and admiring it. These wise men did something about the star and set out and followed it. Because when they started taking their steps, as they were making their way, the star guided them. It was moving to take them, but it didn't move until they got up and got busy. And I would imagine that in a group this size or those that might listen to this program at some time in the future, that there are some people that may have a little spark and desire, but they don't have the passion to do something about it. Number two, they persevered in their search. Have you ever started something and then the passion died and you just didn't finish it? A lot of unfinished projects, perhaps, in life. Something that you were going to do. Oh, we're going to renovate this part of the house. And we started on it. Kind of lost the passion. And so there it sits. the half-finished project, the half-finished shed, the half-finished this and the half-finished that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Nobody wants to raise their hand. Yeah. You have this passion and you get started on it and then you stop. Not these wise men. They persevered. They made it all the way from their house all the way to Jerusalem. And that's saying something, riding camels in the desert. You know, it's not like riding I-10. That's bad enough. We've got so many nuts on the roads today. I just about got run over the other day, and I was in the passing lane. But I had a motorcycle, you hear it in the background, and I can't hear hardly anything, but you heard this one. That's all you saw was a blur go by me. And he just cut right in front of me as he was going around another car that was over to the side of me. I said, that person's going to die. You know, it's not light riding I-10 to get on a camel and make your way across the desert to go all the way to Jerusalem. But that's exactly what they did. They persevered in their search. Number three, they were not discouraged in the search by doubtful religious leaders who they dealt with in Jerusalem. I think this is an important point. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? You know what they thought? They thought the King Herod was just as excited about it as they were. You ever think about that? They thought that King Herod was just as excited about this king as they were. But they found out he wasn't. Didn't know anything about it. None of the religious leaders there. They had to go back and search in the scriptures, which the wise men had been doing, but they had limited knowledge. And they said, oh yeah, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And yet, Herod didn't go, and neither did the chief priests or the scribes. Not one of them showed up in Bethlehem to check. You go find him, and then you come back and report to us. They were not discouraged by the doubtful religious leaders who only gave enough interest just to get the information and then retired from the scene. You ever been discouraged by people that kind of poo-pooed an idea that you had and said, nah, that's not going to work. Why is it going to work? That's not going to work. Well, it may work, may not work. And you may get discouraged by what they said and not do it. But not these wise men. They continued on. Not only that, but I want you to note something in verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the Pharisees together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And then we skip down here to verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligent what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when they have found him, bring him word again that I may come and worship him. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You know what God had done? He put the star right over Bethlehem where the child was. Directed. And when they saw the star, they did what? Everybody say it. They rejoiced. God had brought them to the spot. God had brought them to the spot. There's nothing more wonderful than to be told something and then it comes true. I've told this story a few times in the past, but Christmas time when I was 10 years old, I wanted a lever action play shotgun. And I cut out pictures of it from the old Otasco circular that went around. Anybody remember Otasco stores? I don't know if they're still around or whatever, but whenever I was a kid, there was one in Pace. And they had a colored brochure and they had this pump shotgun, lever action shotgun. So I put pictures of it in the bathroom where Dad shaved on the mirror. Any of you ever did that? Some of you still do probably, right? Put it in there for your wife so she'll see what you want for Christmas. And so I would put it in Mom's book. There'd be a picture of it. Wherever Mom and Dad frequented, I'd cut out pictures of it. And being the impatient individual that I was, I made my way into my mom and dad's closet when both of them were gone. And I started to search around, and there it was. I pulled it out. You know how you see? Don't look at me like you've never done this before. Yeah. I pulled it out, and I said, I wonder if the lever action works. So I tried to manipulate the box. I couldn't get the lever action, but I said, it's got to work. It's got to work. So Christmas Day came, and there it was under the tree, the distinctive rectangular box that it was in. And Roger and I went out, and we had cowboys, Indians, good boys, bad boys, I mean, every kind of a battle you could ever think. Guess what happened to my lever action pump shotgun? I was trying to be the rifleman, Chuck Connors. And I wanted to imitate how he could go boom, 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 boom. And I went, boom, break. Broke the handle right off. Now, this was within a few days of Christmas. Hey, Roger, can I borrow your shotgun? Mine's broke. You're not touching it, was the reply. And he meant it, buddy. I mean, he put guards around it. Even Pebbles turned against me, our pet dog, when I tried to go sneak it. Growling at me. Yeah, I broke mine. It kind of was retribution for me sneaking around trying to find out whether I had it or not. But anyway, that desire, I rejoiced when I saw that little pump shotgun ready to go for Christmas. My joy, though, was ended when I broke it. I've got four more to give you, and we're going to stop here because our time is gone. But I want you to listen to me. If you don't get any other thought this morning, get this one. Get to the Lord Jesus Christ and stay with Him. Get yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, all due diligence, and stay with Him. Don't go running after somebody else. Don't let a little girl stand in the way of getting you to Jesus Christ. Get past that and go. Just like the wise men. The Lord paved the way for these men not only to read about Jesus, but to see Him. So far, we've read about the Lord Jesus. We know that the Lord Jesus is, and we know He's coming back. Do you long to see Him and to be with Him? That's the focus of our message this morning. I got four more to share with you. There are eight things about the Magi that we need to learn. I've got four more, and we're going to share those tonight. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd work in hearts. Maybe there are some that are here this morning that are slow walking. Yeah, they've heard about Jesus, and they've made a profession of faith, but there's just nothing real about it. Just talk. There's no real purpose in life. Just kind of aimlessly, slow walking through life. No sincere desire at all to follow Jesus, to follow after Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would do a work in hearts this morning. The wise men defied the people of their day. They read about the Lord Jesus coming and they wanted to see Him. They wanted to be with Him. They wanted to worship Him. They wanted to give expensive gifts to Him. They didn't necessarily want anything in return. They just wanted to be with Him. They wanted to worship Him. What a lesson in 2019. I pray that You'd work in our hearts today. That You would bring about a motivational moment in hearts and lives where people will move from just having a desire to having a passion and then pursuing that passion and not quitting. Father, there are some that desperately need the Lord Jesus Christ. A child, a teenager, maybe an adult, desperately needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Living a religious life, but living a lost life. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would work in such a way to plant that desire to get to Jesus and to stay with Him. Father, I pray that You'd work in hearts this morning, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to number 106 as we close. Number 106. We all know this hymn, We Three Kings of Orient Are, and our pastor preached about these wise men that came, and yet the passion they had, the perseverance that they had. You know, we have a lot of lights that lead us to Christ in our world today. We have the Bible that leads us. We have Christian parents, church, other things. Are we turning a deaf ear to those lights that the Lord has put in our life to take the passion up and follow and seek out our King? Guide us to thy perfect light. Let's stand together, sing verse 1 of 106. Father, we thank you for the message we've heard today, and we pray for, Lord, if there be one here this morning that is ignoring that leading light, one that may be ignoring that journey to Christ, now, Father, may you convict their hearts. And then for us that have accepted Christ, that are believing in you, Lord, what is our passion for you like at this time in our lives? What's our perseverance? Lord, what pursuits are we following that may hinder our passion for Christ? Father, convict us in this. Help us to be renewed as we face even another year coming up. Lord, to be dedicated to Christ being preeminent in our hearts and lives. Thank you for this message, Father. Pray that you would bless each family here during this time of the year. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.